Hallelujah, hallelujah. Right there in your houses, your living rooms, or wherever you're joining us at through Facebook Live, I ask you here this night, if you lift up your hands, amen. If I can't force you to lift up your hands, I just ask if you lifted your hands or not throughout the time of worship. I shared with the men this morning that once we get to heaven, and how many want to get to heaven? Once we get to heaven, we're going to be worshiping the Lord 24/7. The angels cry out, holy, holy, holy. And when you and I get there, or maybe if we get there, I hope you and I, we all get there, we're going to be doing a thing called worship. And as we worship the Lord, we're going to be before the presence of God Himself. And I think there's going to be no option. We're just going to be in awe. We're going to be in many words and splendor and glory. But I think some of us may, we're not going to know what to do. But if we can't worship here, and if we can't worship right now here on earth, then what are we going to do in heaven? So right now, right there where you're at, just ask you to lift up your hands, not towards anyone, just towards the Lord. Right there where you find yourself, lift up your hands towards Jesus. Some of you need to lift them up higher because you might be going through some battles and through some trials. The higher you lift up your hands, the more you declare victory. The more you lift up your hands, the more you just place your trust in the Lord. It's an act of faith. I know our pastor always says the cops just said freeze. But here we're worshiping Jesus. And so my question is he worthy? Is he worthy? Between you and the Lord, within your heart, how much is he worthy to be praised, to be worshipped? Because we can't forget we're going to be here Sunday. And I don't want to just be here and go through motions. We've been 3 months without service, 3 months without getting to know one another, 3 months without here gathering. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend another service and see people with their hands down. I want to come ready to have church, ready to be the church. Amen. How many want to come ready to be the church? Hallelujah. Come on, let's give Jesus a good hand of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, right there where you find yourself, you can go ahead and be seated. If you're already seated, praise God. You may be seated twice. Praise the Lord. I want to thank the worship team just for guiding us through this area of praise and worship. And as we get ready here this night, a lot of things were mentioned. And one of them that's real importance and it's coming up soon is Sunday service. And so right there where you find yourself, I know some of you may be watching, you're not here in Wisconsin, but we still ask that you share with people, let other people know, invite them to your church, wherever you find yourself. But follow us along on social media via Facebook, and we're going to be continuing to share there the links, the postings, and the requirements, just for everybody to be in one mind, in one accord, and so there will be no confusion. Amen. God is a God of order. And we want to make everything as essential as possible, as, you know, as perfect as possible if we can. But also just for us to enjoy ourselves in the presence of God. And so there'll be many things that will be posted. And if you have any questions, you can even right now comment or any concerns, you know, of anything at all. You can just go ahead and comment and we want to fill you in. We want to make this time as more enjoyable as possible. How many can say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to just thank everybody for joining us there as you're watching online via Facebook here this night. And I'm going to just go ahead and ask that you grab your Bibles. I know for those of us that are here just listening, we have the words on the screen. But right there where you find yourself, don't get too comfortable. At least get your Bibles out. Get your notepads out. Get your iPad, whatever you use, tablets. And just be ready to take some notes. The Bible says, show yourself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the work of God or the word of God. I know that we all go to work and we, you know, make it our business to just really learn and receive the most out of those areas. So I want to ask you to receive the most right now from the word of God. I have a simple message here this night I want to share with you. And before we get started, I have a quote. And it goes like this. It's from the Daily Walk Bible. And I like it. This is what the quote says. It says, getting into hot water every so often has a way of keeping a person clean. Amen. Turn to somebody and ask him, how clean are you here this night? Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we're going to begin in verse 9. And I like that quote. It just reminds me that we're not all perfect. It reminds me that at times when we make mistakes, how much we need the Lord. And so I'm going to share this these couple scriptures. And simply, I just want to drive us back to Jesus. I know we're going to switch over to a theme. It's on our flyer, Recognizing Jesus. And I believe that's always been in my heart. That if you know me, I always say we shouldn't really focus on our trial, but we should just focus on who's in charge of the trial, who's over the trial, who's already handled that trial. So I really believe that we shouldn't speak too much on what we're going through, but I really believe on just placing emphasis on how great God is. How many are with me here this night? Because if we focus on the trial, we'll all come in defeated. I'll be sad. I won't even want to preach the gospel here this night. But if I focus on a person called Jesus, well, then I have something to say. And so that's my focus here this night. And I'm going to read and follow along with me. And it's just a simple story. Again, that quote says, getting into hot water every so often has a way of keeping a person clean. The title of this message is What's on the Inside. If you want to title this message, it's What's on the Inside. So I ask you here this night, what's on the inside? I know we're going through an area of prayer and fasting. There's a quote in our ministry that we believe on, we stand on. It says, if you don't pray, you don't stay. And if you don't fast, you don't last. So, amen. Praise the Lord. Chapter 18, verse 9. If you're with me, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Another translation says, look down upon everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. Verse 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to me. How many need some mercy here this night? He said, oh God, be merciful to me, for I belong to Victory Outreach, and I'm a great sinner. I have a special translation. And then verse 14 says, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Amen. Right there where you find yourselves, want to join with me in prayer, close your eyes and just bow your heads. Heavenly Father, here this night, we thank you once again for this time, this moment, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for this word, but most of all, I pray for those watching via Facebook Live, those that will hear the message later on. I pray for those that shared and those that will hear the word, and I pray for us that are here. And Lord, my prayer is that you open hearts, and Lord, allow your word to just simply sink into our lives. Most of all, help us respond to your word. I ask that you speak into our lives. Let your word be living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And Father, simply have your way. I ask, Holy Spirit, of your anointing, that I be able to get a simple point of cross, that you look into our hearts. Bless this night, Lord God. Allow us again to respond to your word in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Go ahead and type amen here this night if you want to receive from the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you're joining us once again through Facebook Live, I just want to thank you. And I ask once again to share this message, amen, just share it, and that we be able just to get the word across, and I hope everything's going by good right there with our media team. I know that at times we get some technical difficulties, but hopefully, I don't know if you give me a thumbs up just so I could make sure, amen, praise the Lord. So here this night, I'm going to read that, go with me to chapter 18, verse 9 one more time, and what I want to do is just point us a little aspect, because what we see here And this is a portion of scripture where Jesus took some time to instruct his disciples. How many disciples do we have here this night? Amen. Amen. I know there's a few of us here. I pray there's more watching online. And I pray that by the end of this message, you decide to become a disciple of the Lord. And so what we see here is Jesus saw something in the lives of his disciples. Now, I don't know what he saw, but it wasn't good. Tell your neighbor, it wasn't good. But what I like is Jesus saw this for an opportunity to teach them something. In other words, Jesus was always intentional. And it's an area, an attribute that you and I as Christian men, women, and youth of God, we must always be intentional with our lives. How many can say amen? And especially as serving the Lord. Because if you find yourself here in the house of God or there in your houses watching via Facebook Live, if we serve the Lord, I want to let you know that you have to serve with a purpose. That we can't just wake up and go through our routine. And it's not just about I'm going to wake up and go to work and come back and my day's over. Because my friend, if that's your area, then we've already missed it. Our area is to serve Jesus. And how we serve the Lord really matters. So here we see Jesus gave them a story. He's seen something he did not like in his disciples. Beginning again in verse 9, it says, "Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else." So we don't know what they did exactly. We don't know what was the problem. But here we just see simply that Jesus described, he's seen that they were just having too much confidence in themselves. So in other words, he sensed a little bit of pride. How many can know that at times we can have a little bit of pride? Pride sounds like this: don't tell me what to do. Pride sounds like two words that I don't like, that in the home you will get corrected really quick when they say, "I know." Anytime I hear those words, "Oh, you know already, okay. Oh, I'm going to open up a can of worms right now." Pride sounds like this: "I've heard that already." So pride has many, it has a sound, it has an area, a language. And so the Lord saw this in the life of his disciples and he didn't like it. And what's interesting is whatever it was, whatever he saw that he didn't like, he saw it as an opportunity to grow them, an opportunity to teach them. And what we have to learn here this night is there's areas within our lives that Jesus, not your pastor, not your leaders, but Jesus himself at times will not like. So he will bring this area that's called correction. He will bring a word that's called instruction. And too many times we don't like correction. We don't like instruction. What we're saying is, "God, I don't want to learn." What we're saying is, "God, leave me alone. I'm comfortable the way I am. Let me serve you how I want to serve you." And we begin to lay down our own requirements instead of following God's requirements. Are you with me? So what we see here is Jesus gave them this story. And what I like is this story didn't have to do with exactly what they were going through. But this story, it traced down a thing called their prayer life. Is there anybody here this night that has a prayer life? Amen. Come on, wave at me. Type amen if you have a prayer life. How many know that our prayer life at times gets hit? Our prayer life at times, it struggles. Come on, am I the only one that at times our prayer life gets a little bit weak at times? And then when that happens, we're able to see and acknowledge and say, "Man, I know why I need to get closer to this person called Jesus." And so what I like about this story is the Lord didn't exactly let us know what was going on, but he let us know where the problem came from. See, a lot of times I don't have to know everything. I just have to know if you have a praying life or not. There's not that much that we need to know. Discernment will tell you and I if that individual, a man, a true man, a woman, youth of God, has this area that's called a prayer life. And even if we do have this area that's called a prayer life, Jesus will guide us into this area just to show us a little bit better. So I want to read into this story real quick. I hope everything's going by good. Is it? Okay, otherwise, just want to let you know I need to stay focused here this night. Praise the Lord. The first thing I'm going to do is let's look at how Jesus depicted The prayer life of the Pharisee. Now, before we read that, for those that know, or maybe you don't know here this night, the Pharisee was just simply not just a teacher of the law, but they belonged to a certain religious group. Now, as he belonged to this certain religious group, it was a certain group that followed all the laws and all the commandments to the strict or to the most utter requirements. In other words, they bragged on how much they followed the law. They bragged on how much they kept these commands. And they bragged on following the law. They made it their requirement. They made it their lifestyle for others to know this is what we do. Now, this is the Pharisee. Now, we're going to look at Jesus giving in a story about two men. One was a Pharisee and another was a tax collector. Two very different people. Now, we don't know how old they are. We don't know how much money they had in the bank. We don't know what they look like. Praise God. So some of you that, you know, you don't look as handsome as me, you're okay. Looks don't matter. We don't know other areas within their lives. We don't know where they live. We don't know if they owned the house, if they rented those things. We're not important within this matter. What we do know is how they prayed. And what we do know is because of their prayer, what's on the inside will come out. Because so many times we try to hide on the inside by putting on a mirror or a mask on the outside. We try to hide on the inside. I don't know if you follow me here this night. By making other people think, well, I'm okay. I've been coming to church. I'm okay. You know, I watch through Facebook Live. I'm all right. I don't have to go to church all the time. So we don't allow people to come on the inside. So we put on the outside something that looks right. Something that looks okay. But how many know that Jesus looks through everything? The Bible says that God does not look at the outside, but he looks at the inside. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that Jesus looks at my heart. Because I have a heart that needs to be worked with and dealt with. How many can say amen? So here within this story, Jesus told this story of people who had great confidence within themselves. And so he pointed to an area called their prayer life. And if we go to verse 10, the first person that we see is verse 10 says, two men went into the temple, which represented God's house. You can say Victory Outreach Milwaukee. How many are grateful to be in God's house here this night? Amen. How many are grateful you're watching? Amen. How many are grateful that you prayed here this night? Amen. You got a hold of Jesus. Notice that when Jesus gives this story, two men went to the temple, God's house, to pray. That was their first priority. In other words, it wasn't to hear a preaching. This right here is not everything. This is not all that we need, my friends. They didn't come to the house of God just to have good worship. They weren't worried about, you know, how comfortable are the seats, or they weren't worried about what it looked like. Their first priority was and always has been this area called prayer. So Jesus said they come to the house to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a despised tax collector. Now, isn't that interesting? I'm just reading off the Bible here. You have your own Bibles. But Jesus just, I guess, called the tax collector what everyone else called him. A despised tax collector. I don't know about you, but I don't like being called names. But it just goes to show us that at times we got to overlook some areas. That doesn't really matter, and we'll see in a moment. We got to be greater at times than what other people think or say of us. Because what will matter is what God thinks of us. Amen. Verse 11 says, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. So now we're going to look at how he prayed. And this is, again, the Pharisee, someone that followed the law to the strict, to obedience. I believe, if you know your Bibles, don't quote me, but in the Old Testament, there's about 600 commandments in the Old Testament, just to name a few, besides the Ten Commandments. Some of us can't even quote the Ten Commandments. There's about 600 commandments in the Old Testament, so this group of Pharisees followed all 600 of them. And they kept them, and they prided themselves, and that's what they did, and there was a certain group. And so at times when I could relate this even to myself or maybe to us, and when we do things a certain way, we can say, why isn't that person doing what I'm doing? Why isn't he following God like I'm following God? It just goes to show how Jesus will look at it in a moment. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. He says, I thank you, God, that I am not like other people. I think he started wrong already. Sounded kind of good, I thank you, God. But then he goes on to say that I am not like other people. And then he gives us a little list. Cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I don't know about you, but we all fall in this category. How many were sinners? How many were missing it? How many at times? And I don't know about the Pharisee, what kind of life he lived. He probably didn't want to admit it, but he didn't know he was talking to God. He says, I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of my income. Sounded good. It sounded good until we look a little bit deeper. So what did he do? Basically, he just gave a list of what he did. First, he thanked God, but he thanked God for the wrong reasons. He thanked God he's not like other people. You ever heard someone say, I thank God I'm not like that person? You ever run into somebody and say, oh, I thank God I'm not like that? We have to be careful at times. Because is Jesus the one that said, how are you going to remove the speck in your brother's eye when you have a log in your very own eye? We have to look on the inside ourselves first. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there is a path before each person that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. There is a path before each person that seems right, but in the end, it leads to death. And this is so easy for me to give in the home, because in the home, we come in with issues and problems, and we know that we had things wrong. And at times, people don't want to admit they had things wrong. They say, well, I don't have to be here. I don't need to be here. And I say, oh, yeah? Well, the Bible says differently. Because the Bible says, and this applies to all of us, that there is a way that we could be thinking we're right. We could be thinking that I'm in a right path. I'm doing good. But in the end, it leads to death. Why? Our hearts is not open before God. Basically, we're just doing what we want to do, how I want to do it. And this is Solomon speaking in years of wisdom. I mean, one thing he asked of God, he asked God, let me have wisdom to govern your people. I mean, how many know at times we're living in? We need some wisdom here this night. Amen. We need some wisdom to know what's going on. Do I believe the government? Do I trust the government? What do I do with the virus? What's going on? Do I walk outside? Do I not go outside? We don't need someone else telling us what to do. We need the word of God to tell us what to do here this night. So this Pharisee thought he had it right. Another Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2 says, people may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. And I read the Proverbs daily, and I like this one because I always say, God, examine my heart, examine my motive. I heard this a while ago. There was a preaching, and someone shared this. But just for us to kind of think a little bit further, that person said, if I say it correctly, he said, we judge others by their actions, but we judge ourselves by our motives. He said, we judge others by their actions, but we judge ourselves by our motives. In other words, we want to be easy on ourselves. We always want to say, well, I meant the right thing, and it's easy to judge others by their actions. But this proverb says, we may be pure in our own eyes, but the Lord examines our motives. How many want the Lord to examine your motives? Amen. When you allow the Lord to examine your motives, you come to prayer differently. And so the Pharisee knew the law. He followed the law, but he missed the heart of the law. He kept the law. He quoted the law. He did what the law asked of him, but he missed the heartbeat of the law. Because he did not allow the word of God to sink into his heart. He did not allow that word of God. There's another saying I always keep in mind that says, don't just read your Bible, but let your Bible read you. In other words, he just read the words and that's it. Took them at face value. He didn't allow them to sink deeper. He didn't allow them to bring an area maybe of called conviction. I mean, you know that conviction is good. Conviction keeps us close to the Lord. Even though he said, I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of my income. There's a scripture I want us to look at. It's found in Isaiah, beginning in chapter 1, in verse 11. They have it there. Follow along. I'm just going to read it. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11. It says, what makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? Now notice, keep in mind, he is speaking to the children of Israel, and he is speaking at a time when they were going astray. So I pray that you may not be going astray. I just pray that we may receive with hearts that are open here this night. Amen. What makes you think that I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I am sick of your burnt offering of rams and the fat of fat cattle. I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. Now those that are following, you may be thinking, why is he talking about sacrifices? In the Old Testament, that's how they came and asked for forgiveness. And they brought a lamb, they brought a calf, they brought whatever the requirement was for that certain type of offering. So, but the Lord now, you see, saying, I don't want that. That doesn't please me. But he says it, as we follow along, he says it for a reason. Verse 12, when you come to worship me, we're going to come to worship on Sunday. Let's come the right way. When you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offerings disgusts me. As for your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath and your special days for fasting, they're all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual festivals. They are a burden to me. I cannot stand them. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen, for your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Verse 16, wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of the orphans. Fight for the right of the widows. Verse 18. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Now this is kind of what sums it all up. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. Basically what the Lord was saying here, and again I read this because the Pharisee was the one that said, I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. But here the Lord was getting at his heart. He was saying, you can do all these things. You can do the ceremonies. You can even at times lift your hands. But if you don't lift your hearts, because that's what the Lord wants to see. Not just for us to come to church just because the government said it's open, but we should have been having church every day. Amen. We should have been having church every morning. We should have been spending time with Jesus by ourselves in the morning, the nighttime, everywhere in between. That should have never have stopped. Now we're just able to gather together. Now we're just able to have some fellowship. Now we're just able to openly just praise God. And how many are grateful that we're going to be able once again to praise the Lord in the sanctuary here this night? That's why I believe that if we are filled with the Spirit of God, all of us should be able to come in rejoicing. That scripture that says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. It's a command for us to simply enter the house of God already rejoicing. Not waiting to see, am I going to get a good word? Not waiting to see how good is the worship going to sound, but already knowing that God has been good. Already knowing that God is always going to be good. Already knowing that I'm here to praise the Lord regardless of what's going on. Already believing within our hearts that I'm here to worship Jesus because I know who my God is. Amen. I wish there was someone who knew who their God was here this night. Joel chapter 2 verse 13 reads like this. It says, don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. And so that's what Jesus was saying about the Pharisee. It wasn't about the outward appearance. It was about the inside appearance. It wasn't about what we portray on the outside. It's about how we look at the inside. There's a quote and it's in my mind, so I'm going to just share it. But it goes like this. It's by Leonard Ravenhill. I can't get away from his book. But it says there's three types of people. The one we think we are, the one others think we are, and the one God knows you are. The one we think we are, the one others think we are, and the one that God knows we are. Another, we read it the other day, I shared it, but there's a difference between character and integrity. And character is defined almost as how God, or who we are, but integrity is defined as how God looks at us. And when you put the two together, it continues just to grow our area in character and integrity. But it falls in line as how God looks at us. Verse 13. So this is how the Pharisees, this is how that Pharisee prayed, and it was just an outward appearance. But now we're going to see at verse 13 what the Lord did to compare. And notice that he compared their prayer lives. The Pharisee compared himself to the tax collector, but if we should ever compare ourselves to anyone, we should compare ourselves to Jesus. Amen. And so here we're going to see the prayer life, if you will, of a man that's called the tax collector. Now, when you understand those times, the tax collector wasn't all that very much liked in those times. They were hated on. They were looked down on. And if you understand those times, if you were of Jewish descent and you became a tax collector, you also almost got ostracized by your family. Your own family were almost at times would cast you away and would say, you have nothing to do with us any longer. Has anyone ever been casted away? How many have been forgotten about, looked down on, called names? And so we see this man and how he prayed. Now notice the difference. Verse 13 says, but the tax collector stood at a distance. The first thing he did was he stood at a distance. In other words, he knew, almost like him saying, I'm not worthy to approach the presence of God. In other words, like saying, I know who I'm coming before, a holy God, a righteous God. And I know that I'm a man, a woman, a youth of God who needs a little bit of help here this night. How many need a little bit of help from a person called Jesus? Amen. So he was coming. It's almost like he is coming to a beach and is about to dive in. And he first steps in and says, man, I don't know if I should go all the way in because of who I am. So he looked at the inside first. He did the right thing. He didn't look at his outside. He could have said, and he could have put himself down, and he could have said, I can't even go to prayer. He could have said, my own family have cast me away. He could have said all the things that he had done, but first, he acknowledges who God is. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. In other words, he kept it real. When keeping it real goes wrong. Amen. That's a whole other Bible study. Praise the Lord. Verse 14 says, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. Then he goes on to say, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. How many want to be heard from the Lord? Amen. Amen. Man, how many want to be heard from the Lord? Praise God. Right? So here we saw something back to the beginning. So because what happened was Jesus was living with the disciples, walking with the disciples, and he was constantly showing them and teaching them and guiding them, and he constantly saw areas that needed to be corrected in their characters, their flaws, their faith, their trust, their obedience. I mean, could you imagine living with Jesus and how Jesus would say, man, how much longer do I have to put up with you guys? Why don't you believe that I could feed 5,000 people? Why don't you believe if I stop the winds? Why don't you believe in what I can do? So it should give us a little bit of encouragement that at times we also miss it when the disciples missed it, walking right next to the Messiah, walking right next to the one that did miracles. And they also missed it at times. So be encouraged if you miss it. That is just part of the process. But what matters is how we respond in those moments. What matters is how we respond when we do miss it. We fumble the ball, we miss a catch, we strike out. And so too many times because something happens and we strike out, we miss a catch, and we get it, whatever the case may be, people make fun of us. that too many times we don't continue. We don't stay in the race because we forget how to approach God. We approach God like the Pharisee. We say, God, well, nothing's wrong with me. I'm okay. They're the ones that are wrong. We can approach God in that manner. I don't like what the church is telling me. Victory Outreach, what? I don't have to believe everything they say. I don't have to follow all those rules. I don't have to do everything I'm told. I'm okay anyways in the way of I'm living. And we find ourselves in one of the two. We can find ourselves in that manner. I know it's quiet in here because there's not that many people. I pray there's not that quiet in your house. But we can find ourselves at time praying in that manner. There's areas that Jesus sees, and instead of approaching the master, knowing that he knows all things, the Bible says, he knows our needs even before we come to him. I mean, he knows the motives of our hearts. We read that already. There's a way that seems to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Knowing all these things, somehow or another, we still find ourselves approaching God himself, thinking we have everything okay. Thinking just because the bills are paid, the lights are on, that it's okay. When the enemy's just buying time. One thing that the devil has that you and I don't have is he has time. And he knows how to use his time. And so here this night, I pray we don't find ourselves praying in that manner or even saying, I don't have to pray all the time. Listen, I want you to get this out of your system now. You have to pray all the time and even more in the times that we're living in. If Jesus rose up early, if Jesus himself separated from the disciples, if Paul and they constantly prayed, and as you read an area that's called the Bible, you will see a word that's called prayer sifted in there all the time, that's constantly saying of how men of God, women of God, how they had great exploits. One thing they had in common is they had an area called prayer. And I believe what we're lacking within myself included, I know that I need an area of prayer. I know that at times I lack at prayer. But this is an area that we can continue to go on day by day, moment by moment, month by month, year by year, and not continue to grow, not continue to understand how much we need this area, how valuable this area is, but more importantly, how we can approach this area called prayer. Because too many times all we do is go in and go out. All we do is come in and put a checklist on. All we do is approach and not really allow the Lord to look within our hearts. That's why here this night the message is titled, What's on the Inside? Because we're going to be here Sunday morning service. And I want to see what's on the inside. How do I know what's on the inside? It's how we worship God. Are we going to lift up our hands in service? Are we going to praise the Lord in service? Are we going to come early for prayer? Are we going to come ready to receive of the Lord? Because that's what lets me know what's on the inside. I don't have to know everything. I just have to know a few things. Just as Jesus himself didn't have to know everything. He went to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem was an error that was called prayer. He knew, listen, one of you guys is getting this wrong. And if you do it like this, you will not continue going forward. You won't last. But if you want to get things right, if you want to get things corrected, if you want to remain humble before the Lord, then this is an area that you should apply within your life. And that's what we're missing within these times and within this generation. It's just an area, an approachable time of prayer where we're able to truly say, God, look at my heart. Not afraid to show you my heart. And then the next step is getting connected to a leader. Getting connected to the body of Christ. The people that say, well, I don't believe in the body of Christ. All they're saying is they don't want to be worked with. That's all they're saying. You can break it down and, you know, go study the Greek and Hebrew. I don't care. All they're saying is I don't want to be dealt with. I don't want to be corrected. Leave me alone. Read to them Proverbs 16. Or Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems to be right, but in the end, I don't want that end to be my life. When you open your heart to God, he will send somebody your way. I mean, do we still not believe that God answers prayers? If not, why are we even here? Do we still not believe? I mean, did God not open the Red Sea for our lives? I mean, if I'm speaking to a people of Victory Outreach, I believe God had to do some miracles just to get us here. And then God had to do miracles just to keep us here. How many can say amen? Amen. And so we believe God answers prayers. So we have to open our heart to be approachable, to be teachable, to be shaped, to be molded. And the area that we miss at times is, I believe too many times we come to the throne of grace and we say, God, I'm okay. Got everything under control. When in all reality, we don't have anything under control. My favorite prayer is, God, apart from you, I am nothing. Apart from you, I am nothing. I might be able to get a job and pay some bills, but that's about it. I don't want to do that. I think our pastor always says even devil worshipers do that. I want to build the kingdom of God. Amen. So I constantly have to allow myself to be looked at on the inside. I believe this, as I didn't write it down, but Psalm 139, verse 24, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there's any anxious ways." Another translation says, "Devious ways within me, and lead me in the way of everlasting life." That's a prayer we should all be able to pray. He stood at a distance. In other words, he knew he was before a holy God. Just like the Lord told Moses, "Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing in is holy." Now, he knew what was on the inside. We're going to look at a couple of areas, and I'm going to finish off. The tax collector, he opened up his heart to the Lord. That word heart in the Greek, it's cardia. Where you get that word cardiovascular. That word cardia just means the general meaning refers to the center and seat of both spiritual and physical life. It means the general meaning refers to the center and seat of both spiritual and physical life. It carries the connotation of both soul and mind. Now watch this. This is interesting right here. Just like the physical organ, the actual physical heart, just like the physical organ, the heart, our spiritual heart is just as vital, as important to take care of. Now watch this. Our physical heart that's inside of you, that physical heart is located approximately in the center of a person's chest. That's why they say it's almost in the middle of our bodies, of our chest. The spiritual heart should be located in the very center of a person's thoughts, words, actions, ministry. In other words, motivating everything in their lives. That is why we always say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That is why we're able to know where someone's truly at by their actions. Not just by what they say, yes, I'll be there, but when they actually show up. Not just showing up, but showing up on time. For some of the leadership. Praise God. Our spiritual heart should be located in the very center of a person's thoughts. What are we thinking of? Our thought pattern should be governed by good things, not bad things. It should be governed by the Word of God. Amen. Not Facebook and Netflix and movies and social media. But, well, I mean, I can quote a lot of movies. Those that know me real well, I can quote a lot. But I want to quote more of the Word of God. The Bible says, speak to each other in psalms and hymns and sing to the Lord in praises. Are we able to quote the word? Are we able to live? Are we able to have the word of God in the center of our lives? Are we waking up thinking, how is my ministry? Those that are watching, that you're running a life group. Are you waking up thinking, how is my life group? How can I better my life group? Are we waking up thinking, as Pastor Ed Morales said, I eat and sleep and breathe ministry, and all I want to do is serve the Lord and do ministry. That should be in the center of our hearts. Our physical heart. The physical heart has the blood. The blood in a physical heart is composed of different nutrients contained in the food consumed by its owner. That's why fast food is not that good for us, but we don't care nowadays. We just go anywhere. Our spiritual heart. Now catch this. Remember, the physical heart, the blood in a physical heart is composed of different nutrients contained in the food consumed by its owner, the spiritual heart. The life of a Christian's spiritual heart is composed of what he consumes through his mind and experience. The purest life is obtained from eating the Word of God. That's why it's important to gather, to fellowship, to come to prayer nights, to come to service, to continue and feed yourself the Word of God. Do not be conformed by the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have trials and problems lately? I ask you, what have you been thinking of lately? I ask you how much time you've been praying lately. I ask you how many times you've been fasting lately. Because that should feed your spiritual heart. I mean, we got to take care of physical heart. How much more should we take care of our spiritual heart? Amen. The last one is a physical heart. A healthy physical heart beats automatically. In other words, none of you are saying to your heart right now, pumping, pumping, pump, more blood, less blood, more blood, less blood. We don't have to think. It does it automatically. Does it on its own. Otherwise, we'd all die, right? You don't have to say, okay, pump, pump, stop, okay, break. A healthy physical heart beats automatically without the conscious effort of its owner. Now, I like this one, the last one. The healthy spiritual heart, okay, the physical heart does it on its own, pumps blood on its own. The spiritual heart shows the love, joy, peace of God naturally, spontaneously, without any conscience, effort, or insincere put-ons. In other words, when we're filled of Jesus, in other words, when we've been spending some time with God, we're not in an area that's called the flesh. In other words, when we've been spending some time with Jesus, we don't always have to be counseled. In other words, when we've been coming to church, we start enjoying it naturally. We don't have to ask, why do I have to come to church? We don't have to ask, why am I needed? Where and what? We look forward to doing this thing called ministry. We look forward to serving a man called Jesus. It comes naturally when your spiritual heart is beating the right way. When your spiritual heart is open to the Lord. When your spiritual heart is feeding on itself the right things. When your spiritual heart is filled with the right words. It will automatically, naturally receive and output the joy of God, the love of God. It will naturally speak of God's goodness when you feel when your healthy spiritual heart is in order. Amen. And that's what we need to do here this night. We need to focus on what's on the inside. As the worship team makes their way, here this night, the tax collector stood at a distance. It finishes by saying that those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. In other words, the tax collector humbled himself before God. He was able to say, he said, I have no words. I'm not even going to try and just say nothing. He said, I'm a sinner and I just need help. It was short, simple, sweet, and to the point. The Pharisee tried to give a list and tried to sound it high and lofty and fancy. He said more words, and the Lord did not hear his prayers. In other words, sometimes more less is better. What's that saying in Spanish? Callado es mejor. Callado dices más, right? So he just approached God and he said, "I'm just here. You know me, anyways. You know what's on the inside." And so I believe here this night that a lot of us, we just need to approach the Lord and say, God, look at the inside. Why is it that I'm going through this struggle? Some of you, you might be going through struggles of believing why to come to church, believing why to follow your leader. Many issues that you struggle with, I don't know, but God knows. Unless we give those to the Lord, we're never going to move forward. The tax collector, for some reason, he understood. It's funny how Jesus even quoted his own calling or name or what other people called of him. He said, despised tax collector. At times, we've got to look past those areas and just say, okay, Lord, whatever it is, I'm just here, you and me. When is the last time you just got alone with Jesus? You didn't have to worry about how much time, how long to pray, who's going to bother, who's around, just you and Jesus. You, the Lord, the Bible, maybe some coffee. But when's the last time you went on a date with Jesus? Okay, God, let's go out. Let's spend some time. We go on a date with Netflix and we go on so many dates and we spend so much time on social media and all these things. But do we really hang out with Jesus? Matthew chapter 9, verse 12 and 13, it says, when Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not for sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. I know I'm a sinner saved by grace. I know that I continue to need of the Lord. Right there where you find yourself, why don't you stand with me? I don't know what song they have, but they could just sing. Whatever song they have, and it's, you find yourself there in your houses, right there in your living rooms, wherever you find yourself. Open your hearts to Jesus here this night. I'm gonna let the worship team just sing and let's lift up our hands to the Lord. Don't be ashamed. We're gonna spend an eternity worshiping God. But right now, let's prepare our hearts.